More people people spend these days more time reading the Wall Street Journal and the financial section of the newspaper than they do their Bibles. It's a sad fact. People are more concerned with materialism. And maybe that's part of our problem as well. But we can certainly see where our culture actually fuels this idol worship. Turn on the television. Open the newspaper or the magazines. Flip on your internet. What do you see? Ads telling us that what you have is not good enough. That you need something new. Here, new and improved this or new and improved that. Your cell phone, get rid of that. You need a new Droid Razor or whatever. I don't know what I'm talking about, but you know, the latest thing. iPhones, that's right. We got to have the newest one. The one you have is out of date. It's obsolete. You know, your cars. How many car commercials do we see at dinner time? You know, your car's not good enough. You need a new car. For some of us, that's true, very true. But some things never change. Go back to the Garden of Eden, and what do we find? We find that the first humans had everything they needed. Everything they needed. Food to eat, wonderful climate, temperature, running around naked. They had everything that they needed. Sounds like a great place, doesn't it? But it still was not enough. It was still not enough. Because when they were told to stay away from the forbidden fruit, they disobeyed God. And we've been paying the price for that choice ever since. It's called the fall. Today's text, it appears that Jesus knew that this was a problem in his day as well. He's talking about treasures of the heart and where people's hearts were. Where your treasure is, he says, there your heart will be also. In the midst of his beatitudes, the core teachings of Jesus, he was saying, look, folks, what you treasure in your heart, what you give first place in your heart is what you treasure is where your heart will be. That is, you will love that thing more than anything else. And then in the next phrase, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God. Put God first in your hearts, and all these other things will be added unto you, and then some. If we put God first, instead of riches, instead of worrying about money and worrying about material things, love the Lord your God first, and all these things will be added to you. It's obvious today that God is not the desire of most people's hearts. When God allowed the Israelites to put other things ahead of God, to worship other idols, to give God second or third place, if at all, what was the result? Disaster. They would be conquered by foreign nations. They would be swallowed up by other empires. They would even be exiled from their homeland and their temple destroyed as a result of their unfaithfulness to God. And so I wonder if this was not one of the causes of our financial mess that we find ourselves as a nation and world. I can't say it's just a United States thing. It is worldwide. Because God is not our first love. And so the question becomes today, what is your heart's desire? What is it that you value, that you treasure more than anything else in the world? What is it that you desire so much that you just got to have it? Is that something, a someone? Is it Jesus Christ? Is it God and His love? Or is it something man-made? Is it a dream? Is it a vision? Is it a possession? Be careful of the desires of your heart. Satan doesn't have to talk you into things like adultery or drug or alcohol abuse or even an unwise purchase. All Satan has to do is convince you that you won't be happy until you have it. That is a lie straight from hell. Convince you that you won't be happy until you have it. The Apostle Paul speaks of this in 1 Timothy as he's teaching and leading his young pastor. He says, actually, godliness is a great source of profit when it is combined with being happy and what you already have, also known as contentment. We didn't bring anything into this world, and so we can't take anything out of it. We'll be happy with food and clothing. But people who are trying to get rich fall into temptation. They are trapped by many stupid and harmful passions that plunge people into ruin and destruction. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some have wandered away from the faith and have impaled themselves with a lot of pain because they made money their goal. Could this be one of the causes of the economic crisis? Not being content with what we have. Greed, lust, gluttony. So if sin is the core problem, what is the antidote? What is the answer? What is the solution? I'd like to offer you four things. First of all, whenever we talk about sin, we got to talk about repentance. You know what repentance is. To turn the other direction. To change the way that you're going in that sin. To stop doing what you're doing and go another way. Repentance is turning from our sin and make God the desire of our heart. To put God first in our lives and in our hearts. Secondly, we've got to change our attitude towards money. A change of attitude towards money. Paul said the love of money is the root of all evil. We've heard that over and over and over again. And yet, when we look at our checkbooks, we look at people's priorities, what do we find? It's usually not God. It's usually not the church. It's usually not charity. It's usually about themselves. We've got to change our attitude towards money and to be content with what we have. Thirdly, we've got to simplify our lives. We've been talking about simplifying our lives, thinning out the carrots, if you will, downsizing our lives and what we're involved in to simplify so that we don't need as much. Our lives are out of balance and there's more stress and worry and fear than ever before because we're out of balance. We need more balance. We need Sabbath. We need rest. We need time for ourselves and for our families, knowing that we also have to work to make a living. It's balance. Everything gets back to balance. And then one final one, living below our means. You heard me mention earlier that some people are living above their means and why they're in trouble. How about if we tried living below our means? If we live below our means, we would have enough and then some to save, to give to charity, to help other people. Living below our means. We'll always have enough. Less is more. You see where that's coming? Less is more. The less we spend, the less we live below our means, we'll have more to give, more to help. That's a big change and a big shift for a lot of people. There's a financial wizard out there now called Dave Ramsey. Many churches are latching on to some of Dave Ramsey's financial wisdom and whatnot. Crown Financial Resources used to be Larry Burkett. Many of you probably remember Larry Burkett. All these Christian-based financial advisors have some wonderful ways in which they can help people get their finances in order and help them in their spending. I'm thinking about having something like a Dave Ramsey or a Crown Financial access here for people, because many of you have told me we need help, you know, organizing our finances and getting our house in order and things like that. I think that's something I'm sensing that's something you all might be interested in. But it really boils down to six things. They all basically say the same thing. First of all, set up a spending plan. Get a budget. Set up a budget. And a budget is nothing more than what's coming in versus what's going out, so that you can monitor it and see where it's going, where it's coming from. Secondly, put God first in that budget. The tithe, the proportional giving. Put God first in your finances. Pay cash for everything. I like what somebody said in the letter about they don't charge anything anymore. If they don't have the cash for it, they don't get it. Pay off your credit cards. That's a big one. What is credit card interest these days? 21, 22, 25% interest? Have you checked the APR on your credit cards lately? Save, save, save. If we live below our means, we will be able to save a little bit if it's nothing more than $50 a week or $25 a week or 2 weeks or whatever. Set it aside. And don't buy things just to make you feel better. Some people self-medicate with buying. I've been guilty of that. Feel good when I go buy that new sweater. Feel good when I go buy that gadget, whatever. Remember what I said earlier, saying yes to something means we have to say no to something else. And that applies to our spending as well, our finances. Balance is the key. When we make God the desire of our hearts, folks, when we put God first and love Him with our whole hearts, minds, soul, and strength, as we are called to do as God's people, then we begin to be able to see things more clearly, to listen more carefully, to think more deeply, to live at a slower, savoring pace, and of course, that makes us more effectively serve God. Good things we all can use and need today. I would invite you to bow with me in prayer as we close this morning. As your heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want you to think about a couple of things. What do you need to repent from today? What do you need to do to simplify your life? Do you need to change your attitude towards money? And are you wasting your time and your money on things that won't last? Let this be your prayer this morning. Lord, you know my struggle with money and my possessions. You know my fears, my anxieties, and my worries, and my stress. Help me thin out my life. Grant me your peace. Help me to make wise choices in my spending. Help me to remember that real life isn't found in the abundance of possessions. Help me to put you first, to seek you first, and be the desire of my heart, so that I might find freedom and joy, and peace in abundance. This we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.